Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for our consideration this day is the gospel lesson, Mark chapter 3, that was just read. You may be seated. St. Gregory the Great, who was bishop of the church at Rome at the end of the 6th century, made an interesting observation concerning the temptations of the devil. He said, temptation is brought to fulfillment by three stages: suggestion, delight, and consent. First, we hear the devil's suggestion, then we delight in the thought, and finally, we consent to the deed. For St. Gregory the Great, temptation is essentially a negotiation. It consists in the devil's desire to enter into a dialogue with man. St. Gregory's statement is, of course, a description of Adam and Eve's fall into sin. The devil approaches Eve in serpent's form in order to begin a dialogue. The devil comes with words. He seeks to enter into a negotiation with man, to begin a debate concerning God's commands. Has God indeed said, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden"? The devil's words invite man to respond. The devil begins with a question because questions call for answers. And when Eve answers, when dialogue is begun and the negotiation proceeds, then the trap is set. For now the devil knows that his greatest weapon will be used to great effect, and his greatest weapon is to lie, to deceive, to speak words that are false and have no basis in fact. When Eve says that only the tree of knowledge is forbidden under penalty of death, the devil says, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The devil makes his suggestion. Adam and Eve delight in the thought and then consent to the deed. Man's sin is not the result of force, but of clever negotiation. It is not a matter of coercion, but of manipulation. It is sometimes thought that Adam and Eve sin because they do not really know God, because they do not love him truly or believe in him fully. In other words, it is often thought that sin is the result of a deficiency in man's relationship to God. While there is some truth in this perspective, I believe Moses teaches us something different. Adam and Eve fall into sin not because they fail to believe in God, but because they fail to believe in evil. They do not recognize the devil hidden under serpent's form. They do not perceive his lie. They fail to understand his evil intent. And because in their innocence, Adam and Eve fail to recognize the existence of evil, they do not guard themselves against his words. They enter into a dialogue. They begin a negotiation. They give ear to his suggestion, delight in the thought of wisdom, and then consent to the sinful deed. Adam and Eve fall into temptation because they do not believe in the reality of evil. And because of their naive innocence, they become willing partners in a most deadly negotiation. To know evil, dear friends, is to know that there can be no negotiation with evil. Adam and Eve's error is not merely that they delighted in the thought and consented to the deed. Their error begins when they listened to his suggestion. However, Adam and Eve have the excuse of naive innocence. This conversation with the devil is evidently their first contact with evil. They have never experienced evil. They knew nothing of evil's dark intent. They had never heard a lie. But dear friends, what is our excuse? Do we not know the devil's existence? Do we believe the devil to be nothing more than ancient superstition? Have we not experienced evil? Do we not know of his lies and his deceptions and his murderous intent? We are not so naive as Adam and Eve, and yet we continue to negotiate with the devil. We continue to give ear to his suggestions, and hearing his suggestions, we often delight in the thoughts and consent to the deed. However, today, we now hear of a man who refuses to negotiate with the devil. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, says our Lord, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. The Son of God becomes man so that he might now enter into the devil's house. Our Lord puts on flesh and blood so that he might now enter into a conflict with hell itself. This conflict does not catch Jesus off guard. It is not a matter of chance. It is not the result of the devil's ambush. No, rather, this conflict has been predicted by the prophets of old. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This prophecy is remarkable because it speaks of a man unlike Adam and Eve who will not negotiate with the devil, who will not listen to his suggestion, nor delight in the thought, nor consent to the deed. Instead of negotiating with the devil, this seed of the woman will simply crush the devil's head. This prophecy begins to be fulfilled in Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. I believe it is truly interesting that St. Mark recounts no conversation between Jesus and Satan. St. Mark simply records the fact that Jesus is in the wilderness tempted by the devil. Here, there is no record of the devil's suggestion to turn stones into bread. No record of the devil's offer to give Jesus the kingdoms of the world. No record of the devil's tempting Jesus to cast himself off the pinnacle of the temple. St. Mark chooses to present Jesus' conflict with Satan as a conflict without words. Mark presents Jesus as one who will not negotiate with evil. Indeed, St. Mark tells us repeatedly that Jesus would not allow the demons to speak. Jesus does not come to debate or dialogue with the devil. He does not come to negotiate a temporary peace. Rather, Jesus comes to crush his head, to cast him out of creation, to bind him hand and foot, and plunder his possessions. This is what Jesus now seeks to accomplish as he makes his way to Jerusalem to suffer death on the cross and to rise triumphant Easter morning. Jesus gains peace not through negotiation, but through victory. Victory over sin, victory over the devil, victory over death and the grave. This victory that Jesus has accomplished through his own death and resurrection is surely the same victory that he now seeks to accomplish in us at this altar. Here, Jesus enters into the house of our flesh that we might participate in his cross and rejoice in his victory. And yet we must understand that evil is not overcome with negotiations. We must renounce our own sin as much as we desire God's grace. We must believe in the devil's hatred as much as we trust in God's love. We must reject the devil's lies as much as we confess Christ's truth. Instead of negotiating with evil, we must learn to crush his head. The same power that lives in Christ is now given to us who are members of his body. At this sacrament, Christ's own victory, his own power, his own presence now dwells in us. The devil's head is under our heel. By ourselves, our will is too weak, our minds too easily seduced. But with Christ living in us, our defense is sure, our victory is at hand. To Christ be all the glory, forever and ever.